In the name of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just out of curiosity, how many of you were ever involved in scouting? Show of hands. A lot of you. I was trying to remember this week if I think I was a Cub Scout, but I don't have much memory. I do have great memories of being a Boy Scout. We met in the basement of a church outside of Chicago, Illinois, where I was growing up. And I remember my scoutmaster's name was Mr. Spoolstruck. I cannot remember my telephone number. I don't know how I remember that. But I remember at the beginning of every meeting, we would have to do the scout oath and the scout law. Scout law, for those of you who might not have been in scouting, was 12 characteristics, 12 descriptions, 12 values that were supposed to make up the character of who and how a scout is. Now, I'm going to try my memory and see how it goes. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. There you go. If you were to take this morning just a moment of silence, would you please think of three words that describe you, your character, your values, the things that make you who you are? There's not going to be a quiz, so you can't get this right or wrong, and I'm not going to ask for people to fall out. So this is for you only. Take a moment and think about it. Got it? Have them? Okay, put that on a mental shelf. We're going to come back to it. All right? Three things that make you who you are. Three descriptors. I was reading the other day in Forbes magazine. He's called the James Bond of philanthropists. Pretty intriguing, right? The James Bond of philanthropists, because he has given almost $8 billion of his wealth away in secret. His only stipulation to those to whom he gives it is that his name is never revealed. He wants it to be done quietly. He does not want to publicize it. He just does what he does because he believes it's the right thing to do. Nearly 10 years ago, Charles F. Finney decided that he was going to hand out all of his remaining personal assets except for $2 million, which he kept to provide for the rest of his and his wife's life. And so now they live in a very small, simple two-bedroom apartment outside of San Francisco. It's rented. He says that what matters is the help given, not who gave the help. Let me repeat that. He says that what matters is the help given, not who gave the help. He says it shouldn't be about me. Now, do some of you remember Garrison Keillor? He's been off the air for a little while, but I used to love to listen to him at night. And he would always close off the Prairie Home Companion with these words. He would say, "Well, that's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men good-looking, and all the children above average." He could have just as easily been talking about Martinsville, Somerville, Raritan, where all the women are strong, the men good-looking. It's true, isn't it? And the children above average. I was talking with a friend of mine who works in HR, human resources. He reads hundreds, literally hundreds of resumes every week. And he said, Tim, you would not believe these people who have just graduated from college. They have not had their first real jobs yet. And yet it's amazing what they tell me they can do. They can solve global warming. They can bring world peace. They can end all disease. They can do it all. He said, I will tell you, there is one thing that is not in a shortage in this era, and that is confidence. Eric Erickson used to tell a child, I watched Abby Infocino. Abby is now a mother of three. She lives down the block from me. She's a local school teacher. She took her first steps in the first rectory that I ever lived in. She was holding on to the coffee table. And you know how children are when they're learning to walk. They're still in diapers, right? So they're heavier weighted at the bottom than they are at the top. But Abby let go of the coffee table, and she took a wobbly step. And she took another wobbly step. And then she turned around to look at her mom to see if her mom was watching. And her mom, Sue, was watching. And she gave Abby this big smile. And so Abby, as though she had been doing all of her life, took two more steps before she fell on that neck. Eric Erickson says, we learn when we're encouraged. We learn when we're affirmed. We grow confident by knowing that there are people who care about us and love us. And what I would say to you this morning is that there is an extremely thin line between healthy self-confidence and unhealthy vanity. In this morning's gospel, Jesus comes to the river to be baptized by his cousin. John protests, and if this were the 21st century, I think he would say, hey man, yeah, now, what are you doing? Shouldn't be me doing this to you. It ought to be you doing this to me. But Jesus says, no, we got to get this one right, John. You see, all his life, John had been taught to think in one way and to speak in a certain way. And it was that the one who is to come will be greater than I am. I'm not even good enough to untie this guy's sandals. But I think that may be where John, and perhaps you and I too, may miss the point. Because John thinks that there's got to be somebody who is the point. Someone who is the point. Jesus, on the other hand, wants to make it clear. It's not about him. It's not about him either. It's not, is it going to be Jesus or John or Mary or Sue or... It's not about him either. It is about the work that they are both committing themselves to do. So much of organized, or maybe in some churches I should say disorganized religion, but so much of organized religion down throughout history has been about believing in Jesus. Even in our creeds, we think that that's what it's all about. But I've come to realize that I believe in Jesus only because I believe Jesus. I believe in what Jesus is all about. Jesus organized people so that crowds of hungry people could get fed. Jesus invited people to bring their children and their sick friends to receive the healing that they needed. Jesus listened to lonely people, to unwanted people, to people who are pushed out to the side of the margin by everybody else. He said, hey, I respect you. I can honor you. Even if you've got to change some things in your life, there's something important that you need to know, and that's that God loves you. Every day when I come into St. Martin's Church, I love it that we have that baptismal font there, because every time I put my hand into that water, it is a reminder of that voice that came at Jesus' baptism. You are loved by God. Jesus wanted to be baptized to show that it wasn't about him, but that baptism makes us all a family when we commit ourselves together to doing the things of God on this earth, to carrying out God's ways in this world. That's where I'd like to put the focus of baptism, not on the sin, unless by sin you want to talk about how humanity is separated one from the other and from God, but mostly on that voice that reminds us who and whose we are. You are my beloved, God said. You're my beloved son. You're my beloved daughter. I hope that every person who walks into St. Martin's Church and puts their hands in that water feels that every time. As you place that water on your own body, you can say, God loves me. And why? Not so that I can be better than the person next door. Not so that I can shine more or be a more important person. But for what I can do. Because God loves me. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. True humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Do you remember at the outset of this sermon, which now seems years ago, I asked you to come up with three characteristics of who you are? If you're like me, humility was not one of them. Humility is not fashionable in the 21st century. In fact, it sometimes feels like it's the opposite of that, right? But it is one of the seven saving graces, in contrast to the seven deadly sins, the chief of which is personal pride. Yes, we may be strong, we may be good looking, we may be above average, but what's more important is the truth that we receive at baptism. God saying, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. We can't do better than that. Pray that we humbly live into it every day of the year that lies ahead.